welcome to Farm Chatter. We're your hosts, Julia Miller and Donna Kuntz. This podcast follows the efforts of two women and their cats as we reinvent, rediscover, and create our modern homestead. We'll share our tips, tricks, successes, and fails. Keep coming back. It's going to get interesting. Welcome back to Farm Chatter. Yes, it is the official podcast of Five Feline Farm. We're back in the studio on a snowy day in February, but the snowflakes are beautiful.
Yeah, they are beautiful, and we have a good view from our podcast studio where we can see out the window, and they're big, beautiful flakes right now.
Those are my favorite kind.
They are, and they're not piling up much, so that's my favorite kind.
That is a good thing. But one of the things that we can do as we look towards spring and we're watching the snow is plan for the garden. Mm-hmm. And an episode or so ago, we talked about how we decide what kinds of things we need, what seeds, what varieties. And today, I think our listeners would like to hear a little bit about how you actually go about figuring out where you're going to plant those seeds. How do you plan for that? And how do you decide?
It is difficult because, as you know, I love to grow everything.
Right.
And so for me to focus is not easy. You've probably figured that out, that I don't focus very easy.
But you really do when it comes to plants.
When it comes to the garden, I do better than I used to, and I have lots of space. So we have 5.5 acres, so that I have lots of areas that I can experiment with, you know, different kinds of plants that really don't matter.
All plants matter.
Well, they do, but, you know, things like when I've grown tobacco, I've grown all kinds of different grains, oats, Milo, wheat.
Interesting things.
All kinds of different things, just because I want to. Not enough to, like, make anything out of it, but usually it's just seed for the birds and squirrels and whoever else gets a hold of it. But it's just fun. You know, I like a challenge.
And I'm thinking about how many growing areas, as you've talked, I've been trying to count up in my head how many different growing areas you have over that 5.5 acres. And I can't really keep track.
We have a lot. I started out with our planting when we bought the farm, when we bought this property. Bought the farm sounds like, you know, we're about to die.
It's not that.
Not that kind. So we bought the property. How about that? We started out, I think, with grapes. We started planting grapes.
Ooh, so we did.
We have, I think we have about 17 plants. Not a lot, but if we were able to harvest them, it would be plenty for us. Now, somehow I always miss the boat on that.
Yeah, we have some work to do in keeping track of the fruit in the orchard and making sure that we get it more than the birds and everybody else.
Yeah, I mean, we have beautiful grapes. I get nice pictures of them. So if you follow us on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook, you'll get to see the grapes look beautiful. And then when it comes time to harvest, we get busy and I lose track of it. And the next thing I know, there's no grapes left. So we have grapes and we have an orchard. That's where we started.
Yes. And then you also have your primary, we call it the market garden, the one that you harvest primarily for sale at the various markets or here. But we also eat out of that garden. It's a primary vegetable garden.
And it's really very small.
It is when you start to think about all of the things that you get out of that. And it's what, about a 25 by 50 foot garden?
Yeah, we have 10 50 foot beds.
Yeah.
So it's really very small. And but because of the way we plant and we really harvest quite a bit out of it.
We do. And it's been funny as people come out and look at that, because you walk right by it to get to the mercantile. And a lot of people who know that we sell at the farmer's market will ask,
how do you get all of that?
Where you grow all your produce? Yes, yes it is.
Yeah, for market, that's mostly where. Now we do, I grow food all over the property.
Yes.
But that's primarily what we take to market comes out of those 10 small beds.
And then you have a relatively small little plot behind the garage in. It gets some shelter, some shade, mm-hmm. so it's a cooler space.
I call it a cool crop bed. I'm real creative with names, as you can tell.
That's true. And that one is fenced in, which is very important when it comes to some particular things that not only do we like, but so do bunny rabbits.
Yeah, bunnies love peas.
Who knew?
They love them. They don't ever seem to bother lettuce. They don't bother, the radishes have, you know, they kind of have a fuzzy top, so they don't bother those, but they really, really like snow peas.
And that's unfortunate because snow peas are a really good selling crop.
Yeah, and we like them. People at the market like them. Last year, I think I planted 4 different times and they would bloom and start to look beautiful. And I was trying to do this in an unfenced area, which is dumb. I know that. But 4 different times I tried to plant them. And I think we maybe got 3 or 4 pea pods. That's it out of this.
Not even packages.
No.
We're talking about actual pea pods.
Yeah, I'm not talking. And so the bunnies loved them. We had very healthy bunnies from those.
We did. And so as you are planning this year and you're gathering all of this information in your head, I don't think you've actually, you don't tend to take notes, written notes on those kinds of information.
I should. A good gardener would be keeping notes and keeping, you know, this worked, this didn't work. I planted my tomatoes too close. You know, they were susceptible to blight. A good gardener would do that. Right now, I am just keeping track of most of that stuff just in my head, which that's kind of a crazy place.
But I think because it is a smaller planting area or areas, you have the ability that you can keep track of that more easily in your head and remember what went where.
Yeah. Well, I do have a formal garden plan for the market bed. For I have several different places where I plant food. But the market bed, I have a formal plan for that every year.
And what does that look like functionally? I know you've talked about using some different apps, which are really cool, and you can print color maps of the garden, but that didn't really work for your style of thinking.
It didn't. And you can get really creative, and it was fun. I did use a garden app for a while to do my garden planning, and you know, it was really colorful and fun, and you could choose your vegetables and stick them in this app and, you know, put them in which row you wanted and move them around. And it was beautiful. And we can post some pictures of some of my old plans that took me forever to build those.
And they were beautiful. And I love to experiment with new apps on my phone, on my iPad. And I thought you might too, but I think you liked it.
I just did like it.
Functional for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I was spending much more time playing around. You know, I was distracted by all the colors, and you know how I am. I'm kind of, mm-hmm. you know, like a dog that chases the trash truck. I don't know. But, you know, it's like, oh, look over here, look here, look here. So it was too distracting for me. So I went back to a very simple, I use a ruler and a pad of paper. And I create my garden beds that way and just write in the names of the plants that I'm going to put in.
So old school.
Very old school. But it's more functional for me.
There you go. And that's what's important.
Yeah.
You know, in all the technology and the apps and, you know, you see us do a lot of modern, what we call modern homesteading, where we're using technology, we're using modern conveniences to do some of those old things like preserving food and gardening. There are times, it's just better to go 100% old school, pencil and paper.
Yep. It works better for me because one of the things that I find, and, you know, I talk to a lot of gardeners, we change our minds. You know, we have a plan, but then it changes. So if you have this big, beautiful, printed out, colorful garden plan, and then, you know, I'm marking X's through it with my Sharpie, it really doesn't look so beautiful anyway.
Yeah, it's just not the same.
It's a lot easier to use an eraser and then just, you know, I usually use a pencil to create my plan because I changed my mind. I'm always going to rotate my crops. That's important for soil health. But I may change where I'm going to put, say, the peas. This year, clearly, I'm not putting the peas that are not fenced in the garden bed. I knew better, but I kept trying it last year, and that was really not very smart because we really didn't get any peas.
Well, and another thing that I've noticed as you are getting out into the garden and you have a laid out plan is that you may run into areas of the garden that stay wetter than others.
Right.
And that changes from year to year,
mm-hmm,
based on the rain amounts, and we've had some work done to the driveway this year, so that will affect
it, changed our drainage.
How the drainage works.
Definitely.
So you may actually get out and get started and realize, oh, wait, I need to make this adjustment. And you can do that on the fly with your garden plan and an eraser.
That's right. That's the beauty of it. And I usually work just a small section at a time. And, you know, right now we're really, the ground is frozen and solid, and I'm not going to be working soil for a while, but I can tell because we've had so much moisture, when it does start to thaw, we're going to have a lot of areas that are going to need some topsoil and some other work. So those are going to be the ones that are going to set and wait for the later crops that I'll plant in June.
So it's all an ever-evolving plan,
mm-hmm,
as you get into gardening, and you have to really work with the soil and the environment and be sensitive to those weather changes.
And find what works for you. Maybe you are going to do so much better than I will with those formal garden plans because they are great fun to build your garden. I love them. Like I said, you know, maybe we can post some pictures of some of the old plans, and they look really neat and they're fun to do.
Yeah, let's throw those out on our social media platforms so that people can see those and comment. And I think there's one other thing before we go real long with this podcast, but you have recently, I think in the last year or so, begun using a tool that helps you identify planting dates.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I think that actually you went to a workshop at the Mother Earth News Fair a couple years ago and came back with this. It's Clyde's Garden Planner.
So the last couple of years, you've been using the Clyde's Garden Planner. And what does that do?
You find the vegetable. Say you're going to plant tomatoes and you look at the growing season. It has a nice little
like a pull-out card.
Yeah, kind of. And you find tomatoes where you're at, where you're located, and it'll tell you when is the best time to plant. I also have used the Farmer's Almanac. I use that a lot. And so, you know, some of it, you also have to watch the weather in your area, I have found, because you can't, if it says you have to plant on June 15th and it's pouring down rain, that's not a good idea necessarily.
Right. So you have to
use it's a tool.
You have to use some common sense and make some adjustments. But I think it looks like a cool, helpful instrument.
It is.
To decide when it's the best time to start,
mm-hmm,
different vegetables, different plants in your area. So I think as a nice little reward for our faithful listeners, if you make a comment about this podcast anywhere on our social media or website or in an email, if you would do that by February 18th, we will do a drawing out of all those, and we will send you a free Clyde's Garden Planner.
All right. Good idea.
How about some cowbell for that?
I think we should.
So don't forget, make a comment about this podcast by February 18th, 2019, and your name will be included in a drawing for a Clyde's Garden Planner.
So until next time.
See ya.
See ya.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Farm Chatter, the official podcast of Five Feline Farm. We hope you enjoyed our show. To find out more about our farm products, check out our online store at fivefelinefarm.com/mercantile. For even more Five Feline Farm goodness, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and our blog at fivefelinefarm.com. Until next time.